Produced by Jeffrey Cresselius, Preston Frazier and Wayne Hall, this is Yes Music Podcast episode 474, Time to Word versus Magnification.
This is Bill Bruford, the ever-enthusiastic young drummer from the group Yes, and you're listening to the Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 474 of the Yes Music Podcast, two fans' exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine, and co-host, Mark Anthony Kay, will be along in a little bit. You can always get involved with the podcast via the various different ways on the site, yesmusicpodcast.com. Unusually for recent weeks, it's just Mark and me this week having some fun considering the relative merits of Time and a Word and Magnification. Quite a distance apart in time, but linked by some pretty obvious themes, as we shall see later. Do give us your opinions on these albums via your comments in the show notes for this week's episode on yesmusicpodcast.com. I haven't done a roundup of the social webs for some time, so let's do that now, starting with the YMP Facebook page. This week, Dave Fagan spotted the fact that Yes are cover stars again in the new issue of Prog Magazine, and Miguel Falcao found a Chris Squire article on guitarworld.com. Daniel Crone sent a Tony Kaye interview from loudersound.com, and also Billy Sherwood and John Davison doing one of those lockdown Zoom call interview things. Andy Tolland pointed out that it was the 27th anniversary of Talk, and Preston Frazier turned his attention, second attention maybe, to Everyday's, the bonus track on certain versions of Yes's first album. The unfortunate but predictable announcement was made by Yes Official that the Relayer tour has been postponed once again to 2022. Seems like a long time away. But rest assured, my ticket for Birmingham is still valid, and John Keeter also shared that news. In the community posts, Andrew Bell's Progressive Alternative show boasts the Yes Connected Asia, the Moody Blues with Patrick Mraz, Wakeman's Return to the Centre of the Earth, and John and Vangelis. Jeffrey Mason's Hall included. Details of that new edition of Prog Magazine, an interview with Billy Sherwood about Arc of Life, an interview with Jeff Downes, which focuses on DBA 4. Information about a crowdfunding appeal to support the rebuilding of the Crystal Palace Bowl, where Yes played several times. A rundown of the top 25 prog rock drummers, and news of veteran broadcaster John Holmes, who has just launched a retrospective book and the Fragments of Rock show. He's fortunate to be able to replay his own interviews, such as the 1971 he conducted with Rick Wakeman. Doug Curran added the following. The announcement of YMP interviewee Martin Popoff's new visual biography of Yes, soon to be published, the postponement of that Relayer tour, a tribute to Badfinger, which includes Rick Wakeman, his signed poster of Talk, at least I think it's a poster, and another mention of that new issue of Prog magazine. Charlie Nolan added several 1970 press cuttings explaining Steve Howe's re-entry to the band, and Tony Handley posted the rescheduled dates of the Relayer tour. So, thank you very much indeed to those people who got in touch this week via Facebook, and also to those who commented on last week's episode. That was H.P. Peterson, David Watkinson, Gary Andrews, Peter Saint-André, Michael Robinson, Ken Fuller, John Holden, John M., Jeremy North, and Brian Sullivan. As always, thank you to anybody who got in touch in any way this week.
Welcome to the Yes Music Podcast with Kevin Mulrine and Mark Anthony Kay.
It's fun, but maybe not particularly productive, to compare and contrast Yes albums. However, this week there is at least a big connection between the two records we've chosen, Time and a Word and Magnification. As you probably know, these albums contain the only attempts to integrate orchestral elements into a Yes studio work. At least I think so. Separated by a mere 31 years, the reasons for the experimentation with orchestral textures were different in some ways, but perhaps similar in others. It could be argued that in both cases the band were trying to progress, trying to add something new and different into the music to expand its character. In the case of Time and a Word, there was allegedly a frustration amongst some of the band that the music they had made up until that point was a bit constrained by the capabilities of the instruments they had at their disposal. This was early in the development of musical technology, and the story goes that Tony Kaye was reluctant to add synthetic sounds and instruments to his keyboard arsenal. I think this legend has been exaggerated, and Kaye himself has contradicted some of the more extreme aspects of the tale. It may have been a convenient excuse to move Kaye on after the Yes album, but I think it's certain that Anderson in particular did want to stretch the sonic possibilities beyond the rock band instrumentation, and was increasingly interested in orchestral routes towards this. After all, the range of a full symphonic ensemble could hardly be larger. When the band were planning the creation of Magnification, they were left without a keyboardist after Igor Khoroshev had left under an understandably dark cloud. Alan White, interviewed at the time by John Kirkman, hinted that Rick Wakeman could be planning to rejoin the band after the symphonic tour, and he did indeed do so, ironically substituting his keyboard rig for full orchestra on the Magnification title song, as well as In the Presence Of, while touring in 2002. But for the recording and touring of the actual album, his role was fulfilled by orchestra, augmented live by the brilliant Tom Brislin, who now occupies an official Yes alumnus position on the Yes World website, many would say wholly deservedly. And speaking of personnel, there isn't a great deal of commonality between Time and a Word and Magnification. Only Anderson and Squire play on both, with Howe replacing Peter Banks and Alan White replacing Bill Bruford. The sixth and fifth member of the group, respectively, i.e. the orchestra, was in most people's opinions quite differently used as well. Commentators have referred to the orchestration of certain songs on Time and a Word over the years as, for example, well-designed but perhaps a little overstated, and standing out like a plucked bow, that's Simon Barrow. Or here's Stephen Lamb, the orchestral elements do squeeze the organ and guitar parts, and the orchestral shimmers are completely unnecessary. However, I've always taken these additions as they are, and rather enjoyed them. Way back in 2011, which does seem like another lifetime, I commented that No Opportunity, with its Wild West theme, was a real toe-tapper, and I couldn't listen to it without a smile on my face. Similarly, I've always loved the piano quintet arrangement of Clear Days and the brass on The Prophet. I described Clear Days recently as a lovely creation with some very authentic string arrangement. It feels somehow grown up, a piece I'd like to see developed further. And my assessment of The Prophet was this. It's the story of a man who goes on a development of his own, and Yes Music seems to have gone through a similar transformation during this album. Complexity has increased, and though the musicians were clearly full of ambition and courage in their first outing, it feels like they have almost found a new direction here. Almost. Chris Squire certainly wasn't entirely happy that the addition of orchestra didn't create the sort of expansive sound they were looking for, when they opted to try it out instead of remaining with the popular but obviously more limited Mellotron. On Magnification's use of orchestra, here are our two commentators again. Stephen Lamb thinks the orchestra is nicely integrated and praises Larry Gruppe's work, pointing out that it's so strong that it made him want to search out more of the arranger's work. Simon Barron points to what he calls the degree of professionalism and technological capacity unheard of 31 years earlier, when Time and a Word was created, and it's very obvious that the impact of the use of Pro Tools to help balance the band and orchestra worked in a vastly superior manner. There are large passages of orchestra on its own in Magnification, which is in stark contrast to the approach on Time and a Word, and thus it does become a full additional member of the band. Steve Howe was still upset by what he saw as the lack of space for his guitar work, but I think what he does add is excellent. As we discovered from recent episodes with Bob Seska and others, Yes seemed to be at a fairly harmonious point in their working relationships around the time that Magnification was created, and I think you can hear that in the music it contains. My opinion of the album has changed since I wrote episode 20, 2012. Here's how I summed it up then. I said, overall, Magnification is a mix of great music and music which could have been great if there had been a proper keyboard player in the band. The orchestra works well for me when it is used as a complement to the other musicians, much like Wakeman does, but it's often overbearing and the cinematic feel doesn't really fit at times. Crikey, I don't find myself agreeing with that assessment today. Now I think that Magnification wins over Time and a Word because it feels like it's an accomplished work of art, consistent in its sound and approach, where the orchestra plays a pivotal and fascinating role. While I don't agree that in Time and a Word the orchestration is bolted on, I feel that the earlier album is much more uneven, and in the end the musicians were probably right to feel a bit deflated at the end product, which they had imagined would be epic and glorious simply through the addition of the massed forces. In fact, you need someone like Larry Gruppe to complement the band and work within the musical frame to produce something remarkable. I think I made a fair comment that Magnification could be more like a Yes album through the addition of some great keyboards, but I wonder now if that would even be possible. Gruppe's mastery fills in that space, and perhaps not even he could have created enough for Wakeman of Going for the One calibre. Overall, I think Magnification is a great album, and Time and a Word contains some great songs.
Greetings, friends. So this week, Kevin and I are going to be doing a segment that was very popular the last couple of times that we did it, which is the Great Album Battle. Once again, two albums going face-to-face to see which is the better record. Well, according to myself and according to Kevin. And of course, we're interested in hearing your comments to what you think is the superior record. Now, just like last time when I did this, I'm going to be looking at the albums in six different categories, those being artwork, songwriting, performances, popularity. Now, when I talk about popularity, the first time I'm talking about how it was on release, then production, and then public opinion, which is the opinion of that record in present day. So, what are the two records that are going to be duking it out? Well, it's going to be Time and a Word, the second album by the band, the 1970 record. And ironically enough, the album that it'll be doing battle against is a record that also had a symphony orchestra used on it, and that is the 2001 release, Magnification. So let's get on to the battle. Okay, so the first category is artwork. Now, this one to me is going to be a bit of a no-brainer, I think, mainly because Time and a Word is a very confusing record when it comes to artwork, at least for me. In saying that, one has to ask himself, which artwork am I going to be looking at? Because if one really does his research, there are three album covers for this album. There is the original one that came on the UK version that has the topless woman laying down in a sort of black and white picture. Then there is the one that was used in Canada, which has a picture of the band with Steve Howe in it, even though he didn't play on the record. And then there's the German released version of this album, which used the photo from the very first album for some reason. So which album cover are we going to use? Well, we're going to use the proper UK one. Now, with that in mind, I have nothing against that artwork, but to me, it really doesn't really signify anything with the title of this of the album, I don't think. Time and a Word. I mean, I don't know what a naked woman on a cover has anything to do with Time and a Word, but it's definitely eye-catching, I suppose. If you're walking through a record store looking for a new record, I'm sure that might catch your attention, and maybe that's what they were going for. So I gave that artwork a 2 out of 5. In comparison, the artwork for Magnification, I think, is very well done. Some interesting digital artwork made for this, and so many great pieces that were used not only on the cover, but, you know, in the backside and on the CD itself and in the booklet. It's an overall well-constructed piece of artwork for the album. And I think that it's much, much, much stronger than the artwork for Time and a Word. Therefore, I'm giving that album a 4 out of 5. Next, we get on to songwriting. Now, this is a bit closer in my opinion, because I really do like Time and a Word. There's some really, really good songs on here, but where they're going to get knocked off a few points, in my opinion, is that there are a couple of co-writes, so it's not entirely a songwriting by the band, and there is, in fact, two cover songs on this, No Opportunity Necessary, and there's also the cover of Every Days, which was done by Stephen Stills. So they get some points knocked off for that. Other than that, the rest of the songs are fantastic. I mean, I like The Prophet, I like Time and a Word, Sweet Dreams is a great song. Yes, and some of those are also co-written as well, like I said. But overall, I think the songwriting is very good. So I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. Now, for Magnification, this is an example of an album that has some extremely strong material, Magnification being one of them. In the Presence Of is probably the last true epic classic that Yes have written. And I'm not including Fly From Here when I say that, because to me, that is a Trevor Horn written song, not a Yes song. Yeah, so like I said, there are some great, great songs on here. Magnification, Spirit of Survival is fantastic. Can You Imagine is really good. Dreamtime is also a very, very good song. But where this album will lose, you know, a few points, And I guess I look at it this way. I'm going to knock off half a point for Soft as a Dove and Time is Time, which I think are the two songs that could have been removed from this album easily. And if that would have happened, I think this would have been a near perfect album songwriting wise. So with that said, the half and half mark equals 1 point. So I'm giving Magnification 4 out of 5 in the songwriting department. Now, performances. Now, this again is a, you know, this is subject to everyone's opinion, but I personally think that this is a tie. I think that back at Time and a Word, these guys were, you know, starting to find their feet. They were performing really well. Chris Squire's bass playing was getting really, really strong and fantastic. Bill Bruford's drumming, amazing. Some great Tony Kaye keyboard playing was going on. John Anderson's vocals were great. And Peter Banks, I think, put in a fantastic performance on guitar. I really do. I think he did a great job on that record. So 4 out of 5 on that. And Magnification, to me, is the same thing. Alan White, great on drums. Steve Howe, fantastic on guitar, not only on electric, but acoustic. He was so, so, so strong on this album. I remember reading somewhere that he had just finished doing a acoustic guitar album about 2 weeks before they started working on this record. So he was very, very adept at the acoustic guitar at that point. So it really shows on this record. And then, of course, you know, Chris Squire's bass playing on this. I mean, what can you say? I mean, he just fantastic stuff. And he also sings on this record as well, which was a great surprise. And it's one of my favorite songs, Can You Imagine? What a great song. And his performance on bass on In the Presence, just absolutely fantastic. So I'm giving that 4 out of 5 as well. You know, why don't I give it a 5 out of 5? Well, a 5 is a perfect record. And to me, in the Yes catalog, that only happens on a few records, in my opinion. Relayer being one of them, Close to the Edge. And yeah, I think that's about it. You know, I mean, giving something a perfect mark is really saying something. You may not agree with my opinion of only those two, but hey, that's what's so great about music. Everybody has their own opinion. Okay, so next we're on to popularity. Now, popularity, I'm talking about the reaction of the records at the time of release. Now, Time and a Word, when it came out, the reaction of it was decent, but it didn't end up selling any better than the debut record. And because of that, Atlantic Records really were thinking seriously about dropping Yes. It was mainly the fact that Steve Howe was brought on guitar, and that Brian Lane was recruited as new management, that Atlantic Records decided to give them another shot. And they're probably happy they did that, because the Yes album came shortly after that, and we all know what happens from there. In retrospect, Magnification is another record that didn't have that great a reaction. Why? Well, it was released on September 10th, 2001. The next day was the dreaded September 11th terrorist attack, and the record completely disappeared from the public's eye and ears, because they were focused on something much more sinister and deadly that was happening in the United States at the time. It also didn't help that the record label Beyond, that was taking care of the release of the record in America, went out of business 1 month after the release of the record. There was no help in the United States as far as getting a push on radio or in the record stores or any sort of promotion. So this record did very poorly in terms of sales. It was probably one of the worst selling records, believe it or not. As good as this record is, it didn't sell squat. So they both get a 2 out of 5 in popularity. Next, we're on to production. Now, this is, you know, not going to be a big surprise, I don't think. The production on Time and a Word is decent. It was done by Tony Colton, who also did the first Yes album. Eddie Offord, though, came in on this, so it is better, I would say, than the first record. The sounds are good. The orchestra recording is very well done as well. Yeah, I mean, he didn't do too much, I don't think, in terms of anything radical as far as production goes. He just got some good performances out of them, put it to tape, mixed it, and Bob's your uncle. As for Magnification, oh, I should probably give you the points, though. I gave 3 out of 5 for the production of Time and a Word. Now, for Magnification, that album was a production of Yes. And let me see if I can get this guy's name right. Tim Widener. Now, I think Tim was the actual engineer and they gave him a co-production credit. This was probably the first Yes album that was completely produced by themselves. Well, in that sense, because Tim's an engineer, really. So the ball was in their court. And I think they did a great job. The album sounds really, really well done. They did it at a really nice studio. The sounds are all good. The acoustic guitar is good. The drums are very punchy. Steve's electrics sound very good. The orchestra, in comparison on this album, is way more defined, way more detail, way more better in the staging, the stereo spectrum of it. Much, much better on this record than on Time and a Word. But I mean, come on. I mean, you got to give it also... you have to look at the time period too. The equipment was probably a little bit more shoddier. I remember hearing them saying that they had some sort of like coat hanger system where they suspended the microphones for the recording of Time and a Word. So, you know, it's not as professionally done on that record as it was on Magnification. And, you know, Magnification had parts specifically written for the songs as well, whereas I think in Time and a Word they just brought an orchestra and said, okay, here, let's just play some stuff on top of this music and, you know, kind of improvised it a bit, I think. So I think there's no question in my mind and probably in other people's minds that this is a 4.5 out of 5 production for sure. Okay, now we come to public opinion. Now this is the opinion of the albums in the present day. Now Time and a Word is a record, much like some of these other Yes albums, like let's say Drama, has been given a new breath of life in years past, and people have looked at it much more favorably than in years past. A lot of people kind of look back at this record now and say, I think this is a much better record than I gave it credit for back in the day. The performances are a little bit more raw, a little bit more upfront, and I think people kind of yearn maybe a little bit for some of that Yes of yesterday. It's also become a popular record in the lore of the audiophile, as people are looking for great pressings of it, and people discovered that there was a totally different mix of some songs on the German release version of this, so that was hunted down. I did as well. I have a German original pressing of this album, and there is noticeable differences on, you know, No Opportunity Necessary. There's also a omission of The Prophet in replacement of Dear Father on it. So there was a reason to kind of take great interest in this record again. In fact, so much so, it was released, the German version, on Record Store Day. So there was a new version of that, a new pressing of an old record. And that shows probably how much interest that album has gotten in recent years. So I gave that a 3.5 out of 5. Now, the same could be said for Magnification, where it got steam back again as far as popularity was when they did the symphonic tour for it. People really took to that show. A lot of people even to this day will probably say that the symphonic shows were some of the best live shows that Yes performed. Even Steve Howe himself had said that he really, really enjoyed playing with some of the symphony orchestras, especially in Europe. And I think that this record has been giving its just dues with having a Blu-ray release of it done, with also having a release on vinyl done for this. There is a Blu-ray of it out, and it came out in CD and stuff like that. So this period of time has really been looked at favorably by Yes fans. So I also gave that a 3.5 out of 5. So what are the totals? After counting it all up, Time and a Word, out of 30, got 18 out of 30, which is, you know, a 60% grade. And Magnification got 22 out of 30, which is a 73%. So clearly Magnification wins, but it wasn't a complete landslide, really. I mean, it wasn't like it was like a 90% to 50%. You know, there were just obvious reasons where Magnification won. The artwork was superior. I think that the production of it was where it got more marks, obviously. And the songwriting was also a factor as well, because that was where they were stronger on it as well. I think the songs on Magnification are better than the songs on Time and a Word, but that's my opinion. Once again, I'm curious for your opinion on this. Please let us know. But let's go over to Kevin now and talk about these albums further.
Mark is with me here now. Hello, Mark. What's it like over in Canada at the moment?
Well, we've been experiencing... Oh, by the way, hello, Kevin.
Hello.
I've been experiencing some rather nice, warm temperatures today. Well,
excellent.
Today and the last couple of days. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it'll continue this way.
Excellent. Okay. Well, yes, I'm looking out the front window of YMP Towers here. And yes, there's not a cloud in the sky. I can see the moon. And in the middle of the day, well, not the middle of the day, but the afternoon. And it's bright sunshine. So yes, excellent stuff.
Yes.
Right then, so these two albums and rating and ranking them. And to be honest, I completely forgot about some of the aspects that you talked about, so that's good. So it gives us good things to talk about now. And that's Bob Seska cover on Magnification. And there are several different versions of Magnification hanging around, aren't there, with different aspects of Bob Seska's wonderful artwork. And I've said it several times, but I'll just mention it again, that when this came out, I was working in an office-based job, and I had the machine that he's created on my computer desktop for a long time. So I listened to the music, and I looked at the artwork in a kind of digital fashion, and that's appropriate, I suppose, because it is created by computer. Not the first time a computer was used, of course, to create digital artwork for a Yes album, 90125, I think, created by digital means and also Big Generator. So certainly they've been playing with those sorts of things for quite some time. But yes, I agree with you. And interesting, looking back at it now, I suppose one or two of them, the back cover, for example, you can vaguely tell that it's an older digital image. It doesn't have quite the complexity, etc., that you might be able to do nowadays. But I don't think that matters. I think it still looks really great with that strange John Anderson machine type thing on the back with his version of his kind of Elias type motif on the back. So yeah, great stuff. And I think it did go with the music really rather well. Time and a word. Yeah, I've got two of the three. Those are three types of covers that you mentioned there. I haven't got a copy of the German one, but really odd, the American/Canadian one with Steve Howe on it there. I don't know. Steve Howe and also a teddy bear for some reason behind John Anderson's back being held up by Tony Kaye. I wonder if John even knew that was happening. Yeah, quite a strange one. And actually, if you look at the design of the Yes logo and the Time and a Word on there, quite a different visual identity for the band to anything else, really. Not even the posters at the time, I think, were quite done in this way. So it was very, very different in the US-Canadian version.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the artwork was vastly different. But I'm surprised to hear that you don't have the German one. You never.
No.
I take it you never got the Record Store Day one that came out.
No, I didn't. That's a really big omission, I think, from my collection, because it's got a slightly different track listing, hasn't it?
Yeah. Well, that mission it'll be taken care of because I can get a copy for you and I'll send it to you.
Oh, very nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So it does have a different one. There's different mixes too. No Opportunity Necessary has a different mix. So does Sweet Dreams. We also have Dear Father and Replacement of the Prophet. So there's quite a few changes on that. But the artwork, honestly, to me, I mean, it was no comparison. I thought Magnification was so well done. Bob Seska did a fantastic job with it. Mm. Like just looking at these images sometimes takes you into another world. Whereas, you know, Time and the Word, when you look at it, the original UK one is sort of, you know, I think it was meant to capture the young man's eye when he gets into the record store kind of thing. Like, whoa, what is that? Mm. You know, and hopefully somebody will just look at it and say, okay, I'll give it a chance and buy it. I mean, I don't think that was the case when they did the Canadian one. I mean, it was just like a straight band photo with a teddy bear. Right, like you mentioned, and the other one was probably the most confusing one. I mean, especially probably for, you know, people who might have actually saw that cover in an import situation. Like, am I looking at the first album again in Canada here, or is this like what's going on here? So, yeah, I think it was just confusing, Time and a Word. So my vote definitely went to Magnification.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fascinating. And if you haven't heard it, then do go back and listen to our conversation, our original conversation with Bob Seska, where he describes exactly how he got involved in creating that, how he created it, and some interesting times I think he had with John Anderson particularly. Which is why the sort of Starfield type effect appears on the front cover, which was not Bob's intention in the first place at all. But at least we have the Roger Dean bubble logo there. And I do like it, don't get me wrong. I do really love the cover of Magnification, which I know is not to everyone's taste. But yes, definitely a lot clearer, a lot more obviously Yes than Time and the Words. So that certainly wins there, I think. Now, interesting, the songwriting that you went on to next, two cover songs. And of course, the Yes's origins lie in a lot of cover songs. And Time and a Word is actually the last time they do a studio album, I think, with any cover songs, literally cover songs. I mean, there are a few other X-Band members or other satellite-type people who have writing credits on different Yes albums, but I think this is the last time they actually put a full cover version on an album. And in some ways that's unfortunate, because if you think of the five or six or whatever it is, seven cover versions, probably not as many as that, we've got on the first two albums, they worked on them extensively and they created something really, really very memorable and very exciting. So in some ways a shame that they didn't go back to it. I suppose you could say that Cans and Brahms is a cover version. That's pushing it a bit. Would you have liked to have seen them continuing some cover versions?
Well, I mean, I never had an issue with it. I just kind of just brought it up because if I was going to be like, you know, really stringent on the rules kind of thing, you know, that's not really technically a song they wrote, right? That's why I kind of docked them points for that. But, you know, also it's important to mention that America, which was done for the Yes album afterwards, it was not on the album, but it was released as a single, right? But that was probably another attempt at a cover. But that song got so changed around, I mean, you might as well just call it a Yes song, right? So, but I think the songwriting, look, don't get me wrong, the songwriting on Time and a Word is fantastic. Like I said, it has definitely gone up in stature on my chart ratings as far as overall points for this record. It's really grown on me, but I still think that when you compare the album to album, song by song, I think Magnification is just better. I mean, like Magnification, the song is fantastic. I mean, you have In the Presence Of, which is considered now an epic classic by Yes people, I'm very sure. I mean, you know, Don't Go is fantastic. I mean, you know, Can You Imagine with Chris Squire? I mean, come on. Like, some of these songs on there are fantastic. The only reason why I didn't give it a total five is, like I said, because of, you know, Time is Time, I thought it was sort of a last minute just add-on. And I think that Soft as a Dove is the real eek moment on the album. But other than that, exactly. But I think the rest of it, the symphonic orchestra stuff is great. Like Give Love Each Day and stuff like that is just brilliant stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, when you mentioned, just getting my CD here, when you mentioned Time is Time, do you know, I always forget that's on Magnification completely. Because after you've got through In the Presence Of, with its four different parts, it does seem very much like an afterthought, Time is Time. And that one and Soft as a Dove. I don't mind Soft as a Dove quite as much, but Time is Time, I just do wonder why they bothered really in the end.
Yeah, I mean the song itself, I have a similar experience with it as you. I mean, the other day I was listening to it on vinyl. Just as In the Presence was done, I was getting up off my chair because I was doing something at the same time, and all of a sudden I hear it start up, do 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 do. Like, oh wait a minute, I forgot this is even on here. Like, totally forgot, you know, because it almost seems odd to put it there, because ending on such a gargantuan piece like that, you would think that's the perfect way to end the record. I don't know why they put that on there, but it's, like I said, it's not bad. When they do the acoustic sessions at them, when they did that movie theater release of the documentary, I thought that they played that actually rather well. So it's not a bad song. I just think it's not a good, it's either not a good place to put it on the record, or maybe they just could have left it for another album.
Yeah, interesting. I have a strange recollection, I'm sure I'm wrong, that I heard Time is Time live. I don't think I'm right. Anyway, let's move on from that song. So I spent a lot of time banging on about the orchestration and the addition of the orchestra, which which is great. And I was going to ask you about your production questions. We've got Tony Colton with his microphones suspended from coat hangers and all that kind of thing, as opposed to the Pro Tools and the really professional job that they did. But I was thinking about 1970, when Tony Colton was doing his thing there with that orchestra and those musicians. What was holding them back? Was it the finances that they had or didn't have? Why couldn't they have done it more professionally back then?
Well, I mean, that's actually an excellent question, because if you think about it, at, you know, 1970, we make it sound like it's so, you know, back in the dinosaur days, but it's really not, because at that point, there have been so many hundreds of classical albums that have already been out at that point. Mm. I mean, this is not exactly the first time an orchestra was used. I believe there was a record that Keith Emerson did with a different band that had an orchestra on there.
The Nice.
Yeah, then that's it, the Nice, yeah. Mm. And, you know, I think that maybe it was just a situation that they didn't just think of it as an important part of the recording process. I mean, because look, those guys were kind of against it in a lot of ways. Mm, you know, Peter Banks didn't like the idea. Tony Kaye didn't like the idea. You know, and who knows during the process how this came about? Was it just something that they thought about and added on later? Did they say, listen, these things could use some strings or whatever? Mm. But it just, you know, because like I said, these situations have been done before. They have been studio recordings have been done on records before time, in a word. So, you know, whether it was just a sort of afterthought, maybe that's why it was done that way. I mean, who knows how big the orchestra even was? Did they have enough space in the studio? Because, I mean, sometimes to record these kind of orchestra things, you need a pretty big room to do it. Yeah. You know, did they have all these things? I mean, it's a different situation with magnification. Magnification, they went in knowing full well that they were going to use an orchestra.
Yeah.
They actually had Larry Gruppe write stuff specific to it, you know, and for the songs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's a different thing.
It is. I agree. It's a completely different thing. And, you know, in my mind's eye, I can see those big, big recording studios at Abbey Road or at Maida Vale Studios, the BBC ones, and yes, you could fit an enormous orchestra in there, and that's the point of them. That's what they're built for. And certainly, yes, Larry Gruppe did a fantastic job, I think, being the fifth member of the band, essentially, writing those parts in a similar way to, I don't know, someone like George Martin was back in the Beatles days, and it was integrated. It wasn't an afterthought. Didn't feel bolted on. And yes, you're right. If you listen back properly to Time and a Word, how much extra orchestral instrumentation is there actually on there? And in fact, I think one of the most effective songs on there is Clear Days, which only has a few instruments on it. But I think that's probably the one that's best integrated and works best. Whereas the aspects of orchestration on magnification, I think, are wonderful. And of course, as you said, it was one of the most well-received tours. And I do remember it in Birmingham, and it was fantastic. And the orchestra were absolutely loving it. You could see that on their faces, and you can see that very clearly in the DVD version of the Symphonic Live. Everything just was going brilliantly well, I think, at the time, which was certainly not the case for Time and a Word. And I'm sure that has a massive impact on the music that's created, and I can see why they were disappointed with Time and a Word. You know, I don't want to say it's naive, because I think they had the right intentions, Anderson etc., in terms of broadening the palette etc., but in the end, just adding instruments, orchestral instruments or whatever instruments they are, is not immediately going to make something as epic and as big as Going for the One, as Tales from Topographic Oceans. And they got it right in the end. And, you know, in a way, Time and a Word was an absolutely necessary part of the process, wasn't it? Moving Yes forward, progressing to get to those fantastic epics and learning the lessons of not just throwing instruments at it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, like I said 100 times before, the true definition of progressive is to move forward, and they needed to do this to move the band forward. You know, it was something that they desperately wanted to try, John Anderson, right? Mm. And so, they went ahead and did it. And, you know, just to give another quick example about the whole orchestra thing, how different the results can be when it's approached in different ways. Like, I think Time and Aware, like I said, the songs were clearly already written. They knew what they were going in as a band to do. And I think what was added afterwards was just kind of accenting different parts because they were mimicking stuff that Tony Kaye was doing or something that, you know, Peter Banks was doing. So they were just sort of doing imitations of it. Whereas on Magnification, it was a totally different thing. And ironically enough, on my new record I'm doing with the Dark Monarchy, Joe Bailey, who does all this orchestration stuff on our records, he took a totally different approach this time with our record where he's actually written specific whole orchestra parts that don't have any guitar, any bass, only no drums at all, just a whole orchestra parts that are part of the song. Yeah. You know what I mean? In there. So, and when you write it like that, the approach is so different and it comes out so much better. So I think that's why Magnification is stronger.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So yes, I think it is overall. Now, I love listening to Time and a Word. I think there's some fantastic and some fairly quirky and wonderful music on it. But that's not what we're saying. If we had to rank them, which is a fairly pointless thing in the end, but any, but very good fun. Yes, I think Magnification wins, which is fascinating, isn't it? Because not many people will know about Time and a Word, and even fewer people will know about Magnification, which is a great shame. And you went into some of the reasons for that at the time. It was just the wrong time for that album to come out, I suppose. But a great shame. And the difficulty of creating something with orchestra like that is either you go for it and you go out with an orchestra, as we those of us who managed to see that, really, really enjoyed that experience, or you have to start getting Rick Wakeman, whoever, to add those parts back in on keyboard, ironically, as I said in my piece, and that's never going to work as well. So unfortunately, how many of those Magnification songs will ever be done again in the sort of style that they were done at the time of the symphonic tour. Who knows? Well, anyway, whatever you think, my vote would be to get Tom Brislin back to do something, as we've said before. But yes, that's a fantastic discussion. Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Do have your own say on it. Fantastic comments last week from lots of people about the episode we did on, yes, lyrics with Jacob, and also get involved this week, please. What do you think of Time and a Word as opposed to Magnification, those two albums that use the orchestra? And for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're very welcome, Kevin.
Progressive rock question, the answer is yes.
So that's just about all the time we have this week. Thanks so much for listening once again. We do hope to be back next week. And in the meantime, please do keep listening and getting involved via Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. So until next time, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.